I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories.
Hi, my name is Anna, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a former midwife turned midwitch, and I now work with women worldwide, assisting them in having an empowering and natural birth experience and to truly claim their birth as a rite of passage. I offer one-on-one sessions and packages and online courses for conscious mamas who don't want to leave their birth up to chance. I also mentor current and aspiring birth workers in my Sacred Birth Worker Mentorship Program. If you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then please visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com or connect with me on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Now, if you love this podcast, then please consider taking a moment right now and leave a review. They mean the world to me and is also your way of helping me reach more women around the world with these natural and empowering birth stories. Together, we are changing the birth narrative, one birth story at a time. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Veronica. Veronica is a mama of two from the US. She is a somatic and trauma-trained practitioner and educator, as well as a doula. Today, she brings you the pearls of wisdom from her first home birth hospital transfer and some really amazing takeaways as an embodied woman and birth worker. She then proceeds to share about her redemptive second birth center birth, where she experienced labor with no pain during the transition phase. Only what she describes as pressure. And she shares how she created this optimal, pain-free situation during the most intense hours with you. Curious about Veronica? Find her on Instagram as Waking Womb. Hi, Veronica, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. It's so wonderful to be here with you, Anna. Thank you.
Thank you. The first day of your bleed, I know that always draws you deeply within and hopefully it will guide you on a deep journey through your birth stories with us. Thank you for sharing. So today we're going to touch upon both of your births. We're going to kind of dive deeper into your second one. But of course, our first one really shows us so much about the mother we need to be for our child and so many pearls of wisdom. So let's begin from the beginning. You became pregnant, and did you know instantaneously that you wanted to have a home birth with your first, or was that a process you went on?
Yeah, I did. I grew up hearing about my mom having my sister and I naturally, and she had a really long birth with me. I was her first. I was sunny side up. I was 36 hours and she, you know, persisted. And I loved hearing that story and she loved telling it. And I really feel like it instilled this reverence for women, for our power in me that I'm so grateful for. And I know you do this with this podcast, and we need this in the world. I think hearing these stories has such an impact on how women see themselves and their capacity for birth, and not just birthing humans, but like anything you want, right? So yeah, I knew right away, probably even before I got pregnant for years working as a doula, that it was one of my my goals.
Beautiful. So you went on to plan to have a home birth. And then what happened during your birth journey that made you transfer to hospital?
Yeah. So I had 2 days of prodromal labor, which everyone will tell you. And I had told my doula clients, like, oh, it's prodromal, like, just rest, it'll be fine. And I will never say that again to any woman because it was really painful. My son was sunny side up and asynclitic. And so because of that, you know, trickier position, I had major tailbone pain with every contraction. I would say that that pain, those stop and start contractions, were worse than the pain of transition with my second. And on an emotional level, I had been to births where prodromal was happening. I kind of knew, like, it can be, you know, a little more dynamic and longer. So emotionally, I was anticipating, okay, I've got a whole journey here. And then finally, by the third day, I was at 8 centimeters, exhausted. And my midwife offered to break my bag. And I said, sure, you know, at this point, like, let's get this show on the road. Let's meet my baby, right? And there was thick meconium. So I didn't see it, but my doula described it as, like, you know, soft serve ice cream. Like, it was. Wow. So it was a non-emergent transfer, luckily. I got to the hospital and got an epidural, got some sleep, and he came flying out. Like, within a couple hours, it was about 10 minutes of pushing, which, looking back, it was probably too fast of a pushing stage because I had some different tears that typically you don't see, right? If you have a longer, more controlled pushing phase. So it was a lot. It was intense. Yeah.
How did your baby cope coming out really quickly through meconium?
He didn't cope well. It was pretty shocking seeing him the first time. He was pretty limp. Luckily, he recovered quickly, but I didn't get to hold him right away, you know. So a lot of grief, a lot of, you know, feeling pretty defended against my experience because I really wanted to experience a natural birth. And like you mentioned, Anna, it was so important in my initiation into being his mother to have had that experience where I was deeply humbled and I had to surrender a lot. And my biggest lesson was I don't have to do this alone. I think that as a birth worker, I went into that birth and maybe the other people around me saw this too, with some hyper independence in my system of like, oh, I know birth. My mom did this. I'm fine. And I didn't quite call in my birth team when I needed them. I just kept saying like, I'm fine. I'm, you know, so those are my 3 major lessons, I'd say. Yeah.
I love that. And I love because you were and are a birth worker and obviously time as well, right? Has shown you that that's your biggest takeaways. You know, a lot of mamas might have a disappointing birth potentially the first time around and then just want to forget about it and have the next one or don't actually look back at it with that point of view and going, so what is the pearls of wisdoms here? What did it teach me? Because everything in life teaches us something. And, you know, we judge it as negative or positive and all these things, but each has truly a gift in it, right? So I love that you could condense it so beautifully for us. And I think it's very inspiring for anyone who maybe had a similar story for their first to go on like you did and then have your second redemptive one that really did unfold the way that you hoped. So Let's dive on into that one. Before, like, was there a big gap between your babies, and did you do any kind of healing work or any kind of work on that experience, or prepare differently, or did something differently before having your second?
That's a good question. I am kind of really steeped in the and immersed in the healing world as a yoga teacher, somatic practitioner. So there was a lot of work I was doing in between, because I had fear around, like, I just from a physical standpoint don't want to experience that pain again. It was emotionally painful as well. So when I went into my next pregnancy, I remember being very excited, like when I went into the bathroom and took the pregnancy test, and his whole pregnancy was just so joyful. And then there was this voice that was like, what if you have to go through 3 days of labor again? Like, what if, you know, you have to have intervention? That was like really scary for me. And then I did a lot of, you know, tarot reading actually during that pregnancy. I did a training in tarot. If you're familiar with tarot at all, one of the things that it really helped me to do on a somatic level was look at the cards. Let's say, for example, like the Tower, which is everything's falling apart, chaos, this uprooting of everything that needs to be uprooted, right, in order for a new foundation to be planted. And in the beginning with tarot, I would pull those cards and just get contracted and tense and, oh, it's coming. And eventually with tarot, like the more you look at those images, the more it teaches your nervous system, like, actually, no, this is medicine. And that was a huge game changer for me. I also, my midwife, I will never forget this. When she saw me get worked up in our appointments and get in my head about, like, well, what if that all happens again? She would look at me with so much sincerity and so much conviction and just say, Veronica, you are going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to do it the way you wanted to. And I mean, I'm getting the chills just saying it. Like, the way she said it, Anna, was like, I was convinced. Like, something about her made me feel so confident.
That's the kind of midwife or birth support you want, hey?
Yes, yes.
This episode is sponsored by Informed Pregnancy Plus, a brand new pregnancy, birth, and postpartum streaming platform packed with informative and entertaining video content. Among their comprehensive and growing list of movies, you can watch iconic films like Ricky Lake's amazing documentary, The Business of Being Born, and the juicy and empowering documentary, Orgasmic Birth. The mind and body section includes meditations, yoga classes, fitness workouts, and belly dance for birth, all included within the subscription. You find workshops and book reviews and TV-style series on topics from fertility to breastfeeding and everything in between. I highly recommend this streaming platform to all my clients, as well as my mentees in my mentorship program, because there are brilliant resources in there. And the best news is that you can try Informed Pregnancy Plus absolutely free of charge. Just visit Informed Pregnancy TV and start streaming today.
So, sure enough, contractions start. And I also went to 42 weeks with my first, and that was another fear of mine, because I wish I was the kind of person who enjoyed those last few weeks of pregnancy, but I really don't. So contractions start around 40 and 5. So I'm like, hallelujah. Like, I'm not going to 42, right? But they're a little prodromally. They're like start and stop, but mild. I don't feel the tailbone pain. And I was very diligent about doing the mile circuit the weeks leading up to this birth, which is a series of postures to help baby align in that optimal position. And I would do it until like I could feel him come out of my pelvis in that first position. And I could feel him go into the left side. And I, you know, there's just a level of embodiment that's available to you, maybe more so with your second or third, that I didn't really feel that happening with my first. It felt like he just was, I'm on the right side and I'm not budging. Like, that's it. Maybe there's more space, right? So he's on the left side. The contractions are mild, but I'm still getting hit with these waves of like, oh no, it's prodromal labor again, right? It's happening all over again. And my mom came in and we have a kind of more complicated relationship. And I was like, this is either going to make this worse or not. We'll see. And I looked at her and I said, Mom, I cannot do another 3-day labor. I don't think I can do this again. And she is normally very chatty, but she got completely quiet. She looked at me with just so much love and tenderness. And she kissed my head. She didn't say anything. She just kissed my head. And I went right into active labor.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you know my mom, she normally gets anxious. She normally gets, you know, tense up. She'll tense up herself. Instead, she just was peaceful and calm. Like, she just knew what I needed. So I go off into active labor. Contractions are intense, but still 5 minutes apart. My husband's squeezing my hips. We're timing them. And, you know, my contractions never got to more than 4 or 5 minutes apart with my first. And I'm realizing, like, that's just how my body labors.
Yes.
You know? And I'm sure maybe you've seen that.
Oh, absolutely. I have. And I love this story. And I love when women have this story because it's so important, because we have this model that, oh, you're going to have 2 to 3 in 10 minutes. That's when you're now established. And then maybe you'll have even 4, you know, or 5 in 10 and blah, blah, blah. And yes, some women will have that. Maybe most women will come to that. But there's these women like yourself and some of my clients for sure that never reaches that, and that actually continuously have irregular. They might still be like 2 or 3 in 10 minutes, but they're irregular. They have 3 minutes apart, 1 minute apart, 4 minutes apart. Like, and that is actually their way of birthing. And I've noticed it seems also to be, I mean, there's one way if you have a posterior baby like you had the first time, like they also have their own way of being birthed and their different way of having contractions. But I've noticed that the ones who might be maybe not have a posterior baby or something with positioning, they tend to be very highly sensitive women who have this kind of irregular pattern, or it's just so very easily disturbed. The chemistry is just so delicate. And these women who I think also women, you know, tend to be that more and more nowadays, highly sensitive, empathic, and so on and so forth, right? If you are this woman, yeah, it seems to be a pattern. Not everyone, obviously, if someone's listening and who's identified as highly sensitive, I'm not saying you're going to have this, but I've noticed with my clients that, yes, there's a pattern here.
I really appreciate you saying that, because I think it's really easy. In my first birth, I kept thinking like, well, I guess I'm never going to get to active labor because the contractions aren't, you know, as regular. And that maybe almost held me back.
Yeah.
Right. Just the anticipation of I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Mm. And I think that you've probably experienced this where you're at a birth. You're like, forget about the contraction timer. I'm just going to be present. And let time be nonlinear, because let's face it, in birth, we're not in a linear space, right?
Yeah.
And I think when you have someone who can give you permission for that, it really opens up so much more of your own power to just trust your body.
Absolutely. And I think that what you're also kind of coming with in your story is that knowing too much, actually being a birth worker, can be a problem if we're getting into our heads and we're analyzing our own birth, our own labor, what's happening now. And as you say, I think it's also quite common that as midwives or doulas or birth workers, we become highly independent in our own journey too. Yeah, I love those takeaways that you had from your first.
Yeah, yeah. It's an embodied process, right? And I love that we have all these resources for women now where you can really understand birth from this intellectual point of view. Sure, that's great. And ultimately, throw your textbooks away because this is an embodied process. And what I found was there was a lot of power in my body's ability to titrate. Instead of let's go full throttle through birth, for my highly sensitive nervous system, it made more sense for my body to have longer breaks to make it sustainable. So we head to the hospital. I gave birth at a birth center within a hospital the second time. And I had some anxiety about the car ride because my car ride to the hospital with my first was really painful. I was preparing for a cesarean. I was like mentally just, okay, this is what's going to happen, but I'll get to meet my baby. I still had a vaginal birth with my first, by the way, but just being in that car ride was a lot. Sure enough, I'm in the car and I have what I can only describe as like a dreamlike trance state. Just went into what felt like a dream. And there were all these images that were very primal, like animals and goddesses and Cleopatra and all of these connections to what I felt like was the source energy from which all life is born. Like these images just connected me to that and carried me through that car ride because I wasn't with my doula yet. And I wasn't scared. I just felt my contractions continuing to come. And these images just held me through that. And my husband did too. He was very sweet and very supportive and talking me through it. And then we got to the birth center. I was 6 centimeters. Hallelujah. I think you had to be 5 to get admitted. And we're trucking along. And then my doula offers, this position in the shower. And I'm like, let's do it. I love water. So she has me on a chair facing the back of the chair with the shower hitting my back. And this is something that I'll never forget. I get in the shower into this position. There's like support on my perineum, like some of that counter pressure from the chair, the water. My doula's talking me through contractions. And I turn to her and I'm like, I don't feel any pain. And I almost get a little like nervous, like, oh no, I'm stalling. Like, what's going on? And I was feeling all pressure. Contractions were still happening, but zero pain. And I had heard and taught the gate theory of pain many times. But, maybe you've had a different experience. I didn't always see it to that level. Like, you know what I mean?
Very few women have a totally pain-free birth. Yeah, but it's available. It can happen for sure.
Yeah. And I just was not, I didn't see that coming. I was like, okay, now transition, right? This is going to ramp up. It's going to be the hardest. And instead I had about 4 hours of transition contractions, no pain.
Do you want a natural birth, Mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com.
Then my midwife was like, yeah, you can't deliver here in the shower, unfortunately. And I was like, please just let me stay here. But I had to get up and get in the tub. And at 10 centimeters, all the pain came flooding back, which, you know what? I'm glad I felt it. You know, it's part of the initiation, I think. And I didn't get to feel 10 centimeters with my first. So as much as I was like, oh, great, I appreciate that I got to feel that and conquer it and move through it, right? Because within 20 minutes, he was out. I've been, I guess, luckier with my pushing stages. They don't take as long. I was, of course, a little nervous about whether he was going to breathe right away since my first didn't. And like my first, he was wearing his cord like a shawl, just like dangling all over him. And he didn't let out a big cry right away, but he was making little chirpy sounds. So we knew he was okay.
Yeah. I mean, you probably know that as a doula, a lot of babies born in water are very calm. Many, many will not make much sound or scream. They're just really kind of calm and alert.
Yeah, that was my Nico guy, and we got to hug right away, which I didn't get to do with my first. And I just remember, like, kind of, it was otherworldly. I mean, hard to describe, right? But so much awe. And I was really happy on my wedding day and different parts of life, right? But there's nothing that compares to being like, we did it. Like, we did it. I'll never forget that high. Because you hear people describe it in birth. Or I had, you know, many times witnessed it and heard stories about it. But it is just the biggest high of all highs.
If you would describe the difference between your first and your second in that moment, when you have your baby on your chest, I know the first time it took a while, but when you had the both of them on your chest, what was the difference if you would describe it?
Yeah. I feel like with my first, I felt really wounded on a physical and emotional level, a spiritual level. And within that wounding, I put his head on my chest. And that felt like a balm to my soul. It was like I loved him so much. And that was what brought me back together. And with Nico, it was like so much expansion. It was like, oh, I'm so powerful. I did this. Like, I remember seeing him and being like, you were in my body. How did this even work? Like, as much as I understand that birth is, you can trust birth, there's still this, oh my gosh, how does this even work? Like, yeah, whenever I connected with my second in pregnancy, it was just a lot of really bright golden energy. I even saw a psychic when I was pregnant with him. And she was like, it's just all gold, bright energy from him. And yeah, it's wild how different they continue to be.
Isn't that very interesting? You know, both, you know, I believe that how we are birthed, our birth imprint definitely affects us and how we move through life, but also the soul that comes in, every one of us have our own personality from the get-go. And that also kind of transpires in the birth we have, you know, and I think that's really important, especially when I work, I think for all mamas to hear, all women to hear, but also like when I work with birth trauma and people come to me to heal their birth trauma, you know, this is something that I think is so important to understand. It's not just up to you as the mother to create the birth that, you know, you desire for you and your baby. It's a dyad, and you don't know who's coming through and what that journey for that baby needs to be for that baby's soul as well. And like their life journey and the imprint that they're supposed to have. And it might not be the dreamy birth that you wanted as well. And that, you know, if anyone's listening right now who might have had a traumatic birth, give yourself some grace, you know, that it's not all up to you. And as women, I think we're so good at blaming ourselves for absolutely everything, but especially for the birth outcome in case it doesn't unfold the way we desired.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that gets unfortunately instilled in us from a really young age, right? Like we're taught that our bodies are uncontrollable. They need to be controlled. They're a nuisance. Our cycles are just something to put up with. And then we go into pregnancy and birth with that message still kind of, you know, whispering that shamey, blamey stuff to us. And I think that it's easy to then take on this really hyper-masculine approach to, well, then I'm just going to do everything right. And I'm going to memorize all the steps and I'm going to, you know, do all the exercises to get my baby in the right position. And actually with my first, having that part of me get sort of dissolved was really, really healing in a way. I mean, it sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, but I love it because it comes full circle with you acknowledging the teaching that you actually really needed. And maybe that was the way it needed to happen for you to actually do that work that, you know, we need to, what, you know, quote unquote, negative experiences or traumatic events do to us is they break us open. They break our defenses open. And it many times is a gift in disguise, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can be hard to feel that it's a gift when you're in it and a little bit after, but just with time, right? With time and support.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now, is about to have her first baby, and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
Yeah. I think it all comes back to what we've talked about, where it's an embodied process and it's very, very easy to get inundated with information. And the information isn't bad, right? But we can't intellectualize birth into happening. So practicing being in your body with your baby is a game changer. And if that feels difficult, just know that that's more the norm, because we live in a world where it's preferred that we stay in our heads. But there's a vast and deep and wise intelligence to your body that if you just continue to practice, like in little bits, like just connecting and feeling your body, eventually there's this relationship that opens up with your body that, yeah, can't really happen through all the information.
Yes. So true. You know, this is definitely something that I work a lot with women about, the embodiment of self, like actually feeling your body, being friends with your body, with your psychic being. All of this is so important. And something you can start as a maiden. You don't have to be pregnant to start that. Like, you should, if you can, start as early as possible with really tapping into, you know, the wisdom within your heart and womb and your body. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your beautiful wisdom with us. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much, Anna. It was really, truly a gift to have this conversation. And I so appreciate that you're holding space to share these stories. It's so important. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it. Leave a review or make a contribution on our Patreon page. And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.